everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together. And as always, we're so glad that you've joined us.
Someone asked me this week, they said, hey, when you turned 30, what was that like? I said, that's when I felt like I really needed to start growing up a little bit.
It took you till 30? Like,
yeah, 30.
Well, now, there's some people that actually say the male brain doesn't fully develop till 30.
Okay, well.
So maybe that's it.
Right on par then. Well, let me ask you a question. You have young adults that are in their 20s. Do you ever wonder when they will start adulting?
So, fortunately not, because they have really stepped it up to the plate, and they're doing pretty well. And some of you listening, though, may be thinking, when is my late teen, maybe 19, maybe 18, 19-year-old, your young adult, maybe in their early 20s or whatever, going to start washing his own sheets or go to bed before 11 o'clock? Or maybe when is he going to get a full-time job?
Yeah, when will this kid leave home?
Yeah.
For crying out loud. A part of you likes to see your child at family dinners, and another part of you is questioning why she is so slow to get into adult independence.
That's right.
You might be thinking it's time to move out and accept the responsibilities of a mature adult.
So this trend that we're talking about here of delaying the move to maturity and adulthood has been really taking off in these recent years. So much so that the word that you used at the beginning, Chris, adulting, have you heard that word before, has become a part of the culture.
Okay, is that a verb? Is it a noun? What type of word is that? We looked it up, actually, and it's not in the standard dictionaries yet. Probably will be. but for now, it's on Urban Dictionary. It's a crowdsourced online dictionary for slang words and phrases.
Yeah, so I think slang words and phrases is the key there. And you might not want to always look up that dictionary because there's some interesting words that end up there, right?
Don't use that for school.
But because it's used so often, it made it into the Urban Dictionary. And this is what they define adulting as: to do grown-up things and hold responsibilities such as a 9-to-5 job, a mortgage or rent, a car payment, or anything else that makes one think of being grown-up. Basically, Chris, adulting means to do adult things.
Why does it need a word? Just be an adult.
It's a thing.
Yes, it's relatively new and it's become popular. As a matter of fact, in 2016, the term adulting increased in usage by 700% on Twitter.
Wow.
And here are a few hashtags that use adulting. Hashtag adulting cooking my own meal. Hashtag adulting is hard. So it's almost like if you have to change a tire, then you would go on Twitter and say adulting is hard. Did an adult thing today, took the money I was going to buy a purse with, and put it in my savings instead. Hashtag adulting. And like I said about the tire, replace my car's battery, I am hashtag adulting.
Okay, I found a few more because I just find these fascinating. So, filed my taxes, first time in 26 years of life, hashtag adulting. When you're done folding laundry and there is not one sock missing, hashtag adulting.
Way to go.
And here's one. Who would have known that finding the right area rug and curtains would be so hard? Adulting.
Ugh.
It was just hard, but she was adulting, so that's a good thing.
Well, apparently you and I have been adulting for quite a while now.
I think so.
Make
sure everybody understands that word, adulting.
Adulting, right.
Yeah, it's very similar to another word we don't want to confuse people with.
Hearing this, I'm wondering if schools shouldn't bring back home ec, for crying out loud, or shop classes.
Yeah.
Because it's common sense to change a tire, put a battery in. That's not adulting, that's just
living. Well, those who study cultural trends say that our culture has adapted what has been called a slow life strategy. So because families are having fewer children and economic times are changing, that all of this is resulting in parents spending more time developing the growth of their children, and children grow up more slowly.
And it's not just economics, but the technology revolution has changed things as well. The U.S. shifted from a manufacturing economy to a knowledge economy. And it requires people to have more education for longer than ever before. This means you spend more time as a student.
You know, I never thought about that, but that is true, with the difference in how much more people have to learn to actually do certain jobs. And then you add to that the sexual revolution, which contributed by, you know, bringing in birth control. And people don't usually think about that, but that has contributed in somewhat, I think, to more cohabitation and not accepting maybe adult responsibilities like in the past. It also means that more people delay marriage, and women have more education now. They have more options, which also could mean that not only are they delaying marriage, but they might be delaying having children. And those are things, you know, that make us sort of have to be adults, right, when we get into those circumstances. And, Chris, we live in a culture that celebrates youth, and maybe a prolonged period to have fun and delay responsibilities. I mean, that's part of what we're seeing, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And to your point, in 1960, the median marriage age was 20 for women and 23 for men. Now it's 27 for women and 29 for men, and it's still rising. The age of first-time mothers is indeed at historic high of 26 years old. And the U.S. Census Bureau in 2015 said 34% of Americans between 18 and 34 still lived with a parent. That's compared to just 26% in 2005. 34 years old? Still living at home.
So that's more than a third of kids in that age range you mentioned, 18 to 34, that live at home with their parents.
Wow.
Wow, that's a change. So for the first 22 years of their lives, you know, our children go to college. They live in this very structured environment where not only do they know what's expected of them, but they don't know what's coming next, right? I've heard my daughter talk about that. After college, it's easy in college because then life happens. And then all of a sudden they're faced with this uncertainty and they wonder how they're going to deal with that. You know, there's a lot of pressure in that, and we just reassured her over and over, and our son, when he got out of his schooling, that, you know what, you're going to figure it out. You might not know what it is, but you're going to be okay. So as parents, we need to look at our part of possibly shielding our children from taking on maybe needed responsibility.
You know, that's something to think about, because if they live with you after college, they don't have to start paying rent or a cable bill or maybe even internet. They might be on your phone bill still, and not learning to budget their own money.
Yeah, and I know parents usually do this to help their children for a period of time, but maybe if we're making it too easy for them, they're avoiding taking on those responsibility, and that could be part of that delayed adulthood.
It sounds like a lot has contributed to a delay in growing up, and don't some people call that the Peter Pan syndrome?
Yeah, back in the day, I think that's the way they termed that phrase.
Well, whatever we call it, it's different than generations in the past, but is this a bad thing?
So I think, like most changes, when we're looking at the culture, there are some things that are positive, there are others that are negative. And so let's think about the positives for a minute, because there are a few. So if you think about this slow entree into adulthood, that means that teens are getting more time to develop socially and emotionally before they date. We've actually seen this, Chris, with technology, that teens are dating less. They're staying in their rooms, and they're kind of connecting on social media and things like that. They're being exposed to alcohol maybe a little bit later if they're more at home, right? Because they're not out partying with friends.
It's hard to drink online.
It is. Maybe not. I don't know. We could do a show on that, right? So as a result, there have been fewer teens having sex and drinking. They're not getting into as many car accidents as before because they're delaying driving. I cannot believe the number of teens I've met at like 18 who say, I haven't gotten my driver's license yet.
That was the first thing I wanted
to
do.
Me too. I wanted my independence. Right. I wanted to be able to go places.
Well, I guess there are positives, but I'm guessing the downside might make us want to push our young kids out the door.
That's right. So before we get into the downsides, I just want to say that millennials feel all of this pressure too. And adulting can be expensive. Many say that they don't make enough money to cover a medical emergency or rent a place to live. I know we've seen that with our adult kids. It's so expensive to rent these days, and they just don't have the money for a down payment at this point. And let's not even bring in the debt from their student loans. So they're feeling the pressure on all of this, but putting off adulting responsibilities just doesn't prepare them for needing life skills, and one really learns from doing. So one thing we didn't mention is that maybe a little less helicopter parenting could be helpful here.
And, you know, adulting has become such a popular topic of conversation that Kelly Williams Brown wrote a book on the topic. It's called Adulting: How to Become a Grown-Up in 535 Easy-ish Steps.
That's a lot of steps.
Right. It's a New York Times bestseller, and it's in its second edition.
Many communities are now offering adulting classes. Did you know that?
I am not sending my kids to an adulting
you
class.
You might have to, because here's one of the classes. And you mentioned this before. What about bringing back home economics in school?
Yes.
So some of these adulting classes have to do, there's one that has how to sew on a button. Mm. So think about it. If you don't have home ec anymore, where do you learn that? I mean, your mom might teach you that, but my mom was working. She didn't teach me how to sew on a button. I learned it in home ec.
It's amazing.
There are other ones like how to deal with conflict, how not to fight. I mean, that sounds like parenting 101 to me.
Right. You found recently when you tweeted on your blog that not everyone likes the term adulting. It implies a life choice rather than just simply growing up. And that's sort of where I've been on the entire show, if you haven't picked up on that yet.
I know, but the pushback is on the use of the word is because some feel it sounds entitled and that young adults are downplaying their abilities. Maybe it's a bit of, you know, it sounds kind of self-congratulating, right? Like applause for doing life as an adult.
Well, others say that the word adulting doesn't have to be negative.
That wouldn't be you.
No, that's not me. It's simply doing adult things for the first time and feeling like an adult. Whatever you think of the word, we're going to say much more about it and how we can help young people move more effectively into adulthood right after the break. Stay with us on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Anger happens. It's part of being human, but it does not need to control or even ruin your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, with a quick prescription to help you break free from anger. Whether you are seriously out of control, hot-tempered, or just easily annoyed, why not try this biblical strategy to conquer those destructive reactions? A good place to begin is to admit you have an anger problem, and then begin the tough work of finding the root of your anger. The next step is to identify the triggers, you know, the cues that set you off. Your trigger might be other people or situations or even certain thoughts that pop into your mind. Next, calm down. It's like pressing pause on the moment. Take a breath. Count to five in Spanish or maybe some other language. Get your thinking brain back into control. And then finally, create a reaction plan. So in advance, think about ways to combat those familiar angry feelings. And then practice, practice, practice your plan. With God's help, you can break free from anger.
For more powerful strategies to break free, get Dr. Linda Mental's book, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness, available online. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today's topic is adulting, and we have a lot more to talk about, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and there you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. An easy way to know what she is writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter, at Dr. Linda Mental, and on Facebook, and you can listen to her podcasts on iTunes as well. Dr. Linda, let's talk about a few suggestions that help someone move into adulthood. We've come up with a list, and here's the first one. Stop going out to eat so often. You probably can't afford it anyway, and you will save money and start developing needed cooking skills.
Boy,
hashtag adulting.
This is a big one. Yep. We were laughing. Both of our adult kids called us from the grocery store, didn't they, Norm? So Norm's in the control area there. They called us, and they were at the grocery store, and they were asking for help on choosing healthy foods. Hmm. It was hysterical. It was actually kind of fun. But they realized that they are spending too much money on eating out and that they need to start cooking more often.
Say it with me. Hashtag
Adulting. That's right. How about this one? Use a calendar to remind you of activities. You can no longer just rely on memory or your parents' memory to get you to important functions and meetings.
Right, yeah. How about this one? Clean your room.
Yes.
Or your apartment or your living space. This is a form of discipline that actually improves mood and lessens stress. Disorganization and chaos are not ways to live. Make your bed every morning.
So I love that because it affects your mood. So I've told this to my daughter because it's real easy when you're living by yourself to not make your bed, but it's a good habit to get into and it actually does help with your stress.
There's a reason the military does that. You make your bed every morning.
That's right. That's right. I like that. All right. Own your own failures and learn from them. Perhaps this is the most important because it requires taking responsibilities for your own actions.
Learn to budget and buy only when you can afford something. You don't need the latest iPhone.
Ooh, I don't know on that one. I see a lot of these kids who do not have a lot of money having the latest technology.
Hey, but if you want to listen to the Dr. Linda Show
on
iTunes, you have to have an iPhone.
Do you have to have the latest iPhone? Do you?
Well, maybe not.
Okay. How about exercise daily? Mm. So here's one that young people don't think too much about. It really helps your mood. It helps your concentration, your thinking. So if they can work in running, biking, pumping iron, throwing a frisbee with your dog or something, if you work up a sweat every day, it could help.
Right. How about this? Stop looking for handouts from mom, dad, the government, friends, or your rich uncle. become more self-reliant. It will lead to more confidence and satisfaction in the long run.
And here's one that, again, relates to that lifestyle change. Sleep 8 hours a night.
Right.
Quit playing Fortnite until 2 a.m. and prioritize your sleep because it's going to dramatically improve your performance and make you feel happier overall.
This one is a little like point four. Take responsibility for your life. No, it's not your parents' fault. It's not society's fault. It's not the school's fault. You and you alone are responsible for your life and results. Quit thinking about how unfair life is and do something to change it. Rely on the Lord to lead you. See, I sound like a parent already.
Well, that's because you are a parent. But
right.
You know what? If we could get anybody in the culture to do this, I think we'd be making movement. Maybe
true.
This isn't just adulting. This is just people in general, right?
Hashtag peopling.
That's right. All right. Educate yourself daily. If you're not expanding your mind and learning new things, you aren't really an adult.
Huh.
It's lifelong learning is what I tell everybody that I work with. Adults know that times change and life moves at a really crazy speed. And if you don't do everything to stay ahead of the curve, if you're not keeping up with things, you really have to wonder if you're moving into adulthood, because so many of these young adults just focus on entertainment. Adults, Chris, focus on education.
That's no fun.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
I know it's no fun, but it would be adults and education.
Yes.
Hashtag adulting.
Right, adulting. Speaking of which, have passions other than Netflix and Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Cultivate interests that don't involve a screen. Seriously, pick up a paintbrush, a guitar, or something. Have goals. Stop sitting on the sidelines, mindlessly consuming content, and start making something of yourself. You only get one life, so make the most of it.
That is really good. I mean, you could sit at Netflix and Xbox for hours and hours and hours and really not engage in adult life, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Related to that, maybe work on something that you love. Build a business, write a blog, create a masterful work of art in some area, maybe sculpting or painting or doing something. Create something of value for the world rather than just consuming stuff all the time.
Use social media responsibly, sparingly. Kids waste their time worrying about likes and follows, but adults use social media as a tool to promote their brand and keep in touch with friends.
That's a big shift, isn't it? To
definitely.
Not worry about all the likes and all that kind of thing that goes on. Here's another one, Chris. Don't let mommy and daddy make decisions for you. So there are 30-year-old men who won't travel unless they talk to their parents about that.
Right.
They won't break up with their girlfriend unless they get an okay from dad, or they won't get a new job because they're worried about what their parents might think about it. So it's great to get your parents' advice on things.
Yes.
And I love the fact that our 20-somethings do talk to us about major life decisions, but you can't let your parents make the decision. So love your parents, but don't have them directing every step of your life.
Definitely. And here's hashtag be a normal human. Be polite. Please and thank you goes a long way. Open the door for your elders. Let people get in front of you in traffic and generally just be a nice person.
Are we losing that?
Apparently we are. If we have to talk about it on the radio,
I know.
We have.
It just speaks to that self-centeredness, like not being aware of people around you because you're so focused on your little small world. And I think that has to do with screens, actually getting us more focused on screens rather than on the people in our everyday life. All right, here's one. Act like you've been there.
Huh.
Be confident.
Right.
So there's a whole group of studies that show if you act confidently, even though you don't feel it, you're going to come across as confident and people are going to see you in a positive light.
And what do you think about this last one? Be okay with being alone.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, that's a tough time. If we're delaying marriage and we're delaying that whole move into marriage and children, then you are going to spend much more time being by yourself, possibly.
Right.
And so you have to be able to develop yourself as a person. The positive of that could be, like we talked about, that you are learning how to be an individual person on your own with adult responsibilities. So that could be positive.
Well, on today's show, we are taking a look at the word adulting that has made its way into our culture. And I'm going to do the adult thing right now and throw to a short break.
Hashtag adulting?
Hashtag adulting, that's right. Stay with us on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news, or read the economic forecast, or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, He knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, He wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control, no matter how much we think we do. He does. And third, He wants us to trust Him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who He says He is, or He will do what He says He will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse His goodness, accept His grace, and walk in the confidence that He is in control and He's working all things for your good.
This is the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and let me remind you to check out Dr. Linda's books and blogs. Just go to her website, drlindamintel.com, and follow her on social media. There are so many great blogs on her website, again, drlindamintel.com. And don't forget, you can subscribe to her podcasts on iTunes as well.
Anytime. We're portable, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag adulting.
Hashtag portable. Well, speaking of adulting, Dr. Linda, we found a blog from Shar Walker, who works on the staff with Campus Outreach. She provided us with a few ideas about how adulting and a person's spiritual life go hand in hand.
So what she's basically done here is given us a way to think about what should motivate a person to take on adult responsibilities, no matter where you are in that process, right?
Right.
So these are the things that you really should do and why you should be motivated.
She basically mentions the biblical principle of self-control.
Yeah. So the Bible is very clear that we're supposed to practice that, right, in word and deeds. And we're also to be very fervent in spirit and not lacking zeal. That comes from Romans 12. So this means that we need to be faithful and do what we might not feel like always doing, and then doing things with humility and care. And this involves developing self-control, so we don't always want to just do what we feel like, right? That's part of the adult thing. There's so many times we wake up in the morning and go, I really don't want to get out of bed, or I really don't want to do this. But if we're exercising self-control and we're being humble and we're being faithful to what God has called us to do, then we get up and do it. And that really is a biblical way to live your life. And I think most people would agree that learning to have self-control is something that begins in childhood and then continues throughout life.
You know, the sense of immediate gratification is something that is so pervasive in our culture. And there's pressure to do what feels good at the moment and worry about the consequences later. But that's not adulting. And it's definitely not a great way to live.
That's really something we didn't talk about earlier in the show, but it's a really great point about the whole idea of immediate gratification. So you have to learn to resist that in our culture today, because you're right. There are consequences for just doing what you feel like at the moment. And if you and I did that on a regular basis, we probably wouldn't have jobs, right?
No.
We wouldn't have great relationships with other people. So really, you can help each other in this. You can help your kids, your adult kids, think through their immediate temptation. What does it mean to give into the moment? Is this a good way to live your life? And if you're in a community of other believers, we can really push each other in these good, healthy directions.
You know, another biblical principle related to adulting is the idea that we should do those everyday adulting tasks and pursue hard work. That's my point.
I know.
This isn't that hard.
Yeah, and this is why you don't like the term, I know. So there is satisfaction, though, in a job well done. And once people do something and they feel really good about it, that's what really motivates you to continue to do more. So in one way, you've got to convince your children that if you do something that's hard, you're going to feel better when it's all over with. And again, I think if you have small moments of that throughout childhood, it's easier to do that when you get older. And if your motive is really to bring glory to God, then doing the hard things for a kingdom purpose really does give meaning to work. So we're not just feeling like we're just doing stuff. You know, there's a purpose to it. And often this means we have to get our mind off of our own selfish wants and realize that we have things to do for the kingdom of God.
Does discipleship play a role here? And the reason I ask is we've established the fact that we all need to grow up and take responsibilities as adults. But a part of that seems to be growing up in our faith walk as well.
We do need to know that those who are younger learn from those in the church who have walked a bit more of life. So you can learn a lot from more mature people's experiences. Those people who are mature in the faith are a great resource for people moving into adulthood. And maturing in your faith never ends, so we're all a work in progress. So purposely seeking out and being discipled by another person is a positive step in adulting.
Which also relates to wisdom, whether that wisdom is from others or from God.
He promises, Chris, to give it to us if we ask him for it. So here's how John Piper describes wisdom. The greatest human wisdom is the factual knowledge and the situational insight and the necessary resolve that together have the greatest likelihood of success in achieving the intended righteous goal. And, you know, God promises to give us wisdom if we ask him. So maybe what we need to do is teach our children, when you're not sure what to do, it's fine to run it by me. But why don't you check with God and see if God will give you some direction on that as well?
That's right. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, that is, he imparts it to believers, which God decreed before the ages for our glory.
So wisdom is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit as we become one of God's, right, as his own people. This is a gift that we actually get that we can use to move us into adult responsibilities. And I think, again, if we keep our focus on living our life to please the Lord and asking the Lord for direction in our life, we're going to move forward in the things that God has for us. So make it a practice in your life and tell your children to ask for God's wisdom with any decision that they're making.
So really what we're saying is, as you grow spiritually in the Lord, you will grow into adulthood as well.
I think so. And maybe why we're having so much trouble adulting in our culture is that we've taken God out of the culture in everyday living. We have the temptation to fall into our own selfishness and laziness. So it's very easy to opt out of responsibility, take the road of immediate gratification, not push ourselves when our work or our life doesn't have meaning. So perhaps the key for all of us in terms of doing this adulting thing is to deepen our intimacy with Christ, be more in tune with the Holy Spirit and the plans that God has for our lives. Well, we hope this has helped a little bit. We hope Chris can get comfortable with the term. Maybe he will have some alternatives to suggest that you might want to look for on some of our social media.
Hashtag this is the end of the show.
That's right. So that is all the time that we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media directors, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.